Whoever has ears
to hear,
let them hear. When we hear something over and over again, we start to miss the point. We're like, yeah, I know. Like, I know this one. I've heard it so many times. And we completely glaze over what God said and what God is actually trying to point to us. So I'm asking you to listen like you're hearing this for the first time. Once again, my name is Ibuken, and I'm going to be delivering the sermon for today. Sorry. Let me take you back to a moment many of you might reason with. You know, when the farmers in your family, or maybe you yourself grew up like, you know, planting seeds or, you know, maybe living on a farm. Back home, planting seed, I'm from Nigeria, sorry. Back home, planting seeds, it's something almost everyone does. Some people do it to save the cost of buying fresh ingredients or fresh fruits, fresh crops. Farmers would wake up before dawn, fill their bags with seed, and walk through the fields with intentions and hope. Intentions and hope. But here's what really marveled me. Not all farmers were the same, because some people know nothing about it. Some people are experts. Some would be careless, scattering seeds everywhere, without thinking whether or not it's going to yield gains. Others would study the ground. They would test the soil, and they would prepare it with care. What's the difference? One farmer yields profit. The other farmer is just that, a farmer. No profit, nothing. Jesus knew this world. He understood farming. But more than that, he understood us. We're what the scripture today, or what the sermon today calls distracted disciples. Me, you, Pastor Mark, everyone here today, we're the distracted disciples. We're the ones trying to follow him when the world is pulling us in a thousand directions. What do I mean by distracted disciples? Because when Pastor Mark gave me this reading, that was the first thing that caught my eye. Not the soul, because I've heard the scripture a thousand times as well, but the term distracted disciples. I looked it up. I kept thinking, what are distracted disciples? Because for you to be a disciple, it means you're already following God. So why am I distracted if I know who I'm following? You came to church today, and there's a part of you here listening to me. But there's another part of you thinking about that email you haven't received, the one you haven't sent. Another part of you worried about your child. Another part of you wondering what food you're going to eat this afternoon, if you made the right decision coming to church today. Another part of you scrolling through your phone right now, or, you know, thinking about what you do once you get out of here. I'm not saying any of that is a sin or it's wrong. I'm just saying we are never fully present. And that's what makes us distracted disciples. We are scattered seeds falling in hundreds of directions. Back home we have a saying. It's a person who's running in two different directions isn't moving forward, it's just moving backwards. And Jesus knew this about us. He knew that he would be here, but not here. sorry, he knew that we would be here, but not here at the same time. We're going to be present, but distracted. We're trying to follow Jesus. We're trying to follow the word of God. But at the same time, we're following the word as a whole. So when Jesus tells this parable about the farmer and four different kinds of soil, he's not just talking about the soil, like the geography, the world as a whole. He's talking about the condition of our hearts. It's pointing at me. It's pointing at you. And it's asking, it's making us ask, what kind of soil am I becoming in God's hands? Over the past 4 weeks, Pastor Mark has been taking us about the four souls. I'm just going to give a brief recap from my point. Some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. I like us to consider the path as a hard ground, a concrete ground, the footpath, you know. The path here is a place where no one has prepared the soil. It's been walked on so many times that it's hardened, and the seed doesn't even get a chance to sink into the soil. The birds come immediately and take it away. Many of us right now are living on the path because we've walked the same route for so long. We go from work, back home, we watch a movie, we go to bed. We go back to work, we come back home, watch a movie and go to bed. Wash, rinse, repeat. And that's why we've become hardened. Because when Jesus speaks to us, we hear the sermon, we nod our heads, and we are back to our regular routine. We close our Bible and, Mondays come, Tuesday, we can't remember what we were taught. And what is Jesus trying to tell us about the hard part? The enemy, and I'm not calling work your enemy or your phone your enemy, but I'm just saying, like, those side things, they've already snatched the word of God away. The good news is a path can be broken up, hardened ground can be tilled, and this takes intention, like I said before. It takes someone saying, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to join a prayer group. I'm going to pause and listen to God's words instead of rushing through life. And that's how we become soft grounds again. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Why did they have no root? This is the person that gets excited quickly. You meet them after a worship service, you know, they're spiritually filled. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to read the Bible every day. They're so hyper, they're active. You believe them, they also believe themselves. But then life happens. You know, someone says something that gets to them. They face a small test. The temperature rises a bit. And suddenly, that plant is withered. Gone. Why is that? It's because there was no root. There was excitement, there was no foundation. There was commitment, but the commitment was shallow. I know this person because I, for one, have been this person once in my life. I've made promises to God in moments where I had passion, but I couldn't live up to those promises. But Jesus is teaching us something. Depth matters. But real faith is not just emotional high. It's the slow, steady work of letting God into our lives. It's showing up on the days where you feel like, you know, you feel like your worst. It's praying when you don't feel anything. And it's trusting God when you can't see anything as well. Other seeds fell along thorns. which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear again. I don't even need the book to read this one. It's like you call yourself a child of God, you're a Christian. Sometimes it's not your choice, sometimes it's not your fault, but you find yourself along, you know, rough edges. You find yourself with people who affect your life. Like, take for instance, on Friday, I went out with a few friends, and in the car, someone asked me, "Are you religious?" I said, "Yes, I am religious. I'm a Christian." And she said, "Oh, okay." And I go, "What do you mean by that?" She says, "I used to go to church, but someone can't tell me how Jesus turned water into wine. I don't believe it." That's what she said. And 19 years in the church, I learned one thing. Religious arguments, they're always the worst. No, honestly, I once been in a church once, and the person on the podium was talking about how Muslims are the worst. And I walked out, and I said to her, "Whatever you want to say, say it. I don't believe you." Everyone has that right. You choose what to believe, and you choose what not to believe. She said, "I have atheist friends, and they keep telling me about how the Bible's a lie. You know, I don't believe in it." And that's what I call the turns on the turns in this parable. These are people who, you know you're going along a good path, you're growing okay, but you let people with diverse decisions, you let addictions, and when I say addictions, I don't mean the bad ones like drugs or anything like that. Like work, social media, school, lottery, things like that. You let them crowd your mind and you lose your path. For those of us familiar with the farm, we know what happens when thorns grow. The farmer must go back and he has to pluck it out from the root. That's what God does when you give him the chance. The seed of God's word is in your heart, but the thorns are choking it if you allow them. And you need to do some weeding. I'm not going to tell you it's easy, because I believe and I know it's not, but it is necessary. If you find yourself in this, if you find yourself as a seed who landed on the thorns, you need to allow God to pluck these thorns out. You need to be dedicated, and you need to let him do his work. Last but not the least, the good soul. The soul which reaps 30, 60, and 100-fold. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop. Some multiplying 30, some 60, and 100-fold. This is not just another type of soil, because this is the goal. This is what we want as children of God, as Christians, as people living in a society with one another. Because God is not just calling us to avoid being hard, shallow, or distracted. He's calling us to be a good soul. And I need you to see this clearly. Know that good soil is not perfect soil, but it is what we call preferred soil. It's preferred and it's prepared. Because no matter how good something is, something has to lead to that. Now, here's what I want you to notice. The seed doesn't change. The seed that fell on the rocky parts, the seed that fell on the thorns, and the seed that fell on the shallow part as well. The seed doesn't change. But when the seed falls on the good soil, what happens? Instant multiplication. Not just growth, but multiplication. In farming, this is the dream. You put in a little, you get back abundantly. But good soil, like I said, doesn't just happen. Someone has to attend to it. Someone has to constantly check on it, plow the soil, till the soil, pull the weeds, break up the hardness. Let the rain soak in. Good soil is a choice. It's what we call discipline. It's a commitment to creating the right conditions for something beautiful to happen. And I want to tell you right now, it's never too late. You can become good soil right now. You can become good soil, not right now. It takes time, sorry. But today, the seed of God's word is being scattered in this church. In every worship song we sing, in every prayer we pray, every act of service is given to God. It's in this message, it's in this worship. The question is not whether or not the seed is good, because Jesus is the best farmer. But the question is, what kind of soil are we looking to become as children of God? I'm trying to round up, but I'd like to ask, how do we move from being distracted to devoted? How do we move from the hardened soil or the rocky path to the good soil? First thing I'd like you to do is to identify your thorns, because you cannot uproot what you refuse to see. This is where I'm challenging you. Where are the thorns in your life? What distracts you? What takes your attention away? What worries you? What addictions do you have? It might be your phone, it might be your job, it might be a relationship. It might be fear. It might be pride. It might be a lie that you're telling yourself that you're not good enough. Write it down. Don't be ashamed. Just be honest with yourself and with God. And when you write this down, work on it. Step by step, you move from the hardened soil, the soil returns to the good soil. Because the farmer doesn't uproot thorns while pretending that you're not there. Another way you can move from distracted to devoted is by acknowledging and practicing deliberate measures. Good soil, like I said, requires intentional care. I'm not talking about daily prayer, not just when you're in trouble. But prayer, you know, you pray, you study the word of God, you listen. And if possible, you can teach as well. I'm talking about reading the Bible, not just here on Sundays, back home, in your quiet time, letting God into your heart. Farmers just don't plant seed once and hope for the best. They plant, they water, they weed, and they protect the crops as well. Protection is another important factor here. When you're trying to build yourself, I'd like you to also stay protected. Because those thorns, they're going to find their way back. Now, how do you protect yourself from them? As much as you're committed to being good, someone is committed to making you bad. So let your commitment be greater than theirs. All in all, as Christians, I want to say the most important thing we all do is to trust and believe in God. And that trust is a big factor here, because no matter how good the soil is, you have to trust in God to reap a bountiful harvest. Here's the thing about farming. You do your part, and then you have to trust. Many of us give up on faith because we can't see the harvest fast enough. You pray for healing, but it's not coming right now, so you're saying, oh God, you don't like me that much. We want results. We want to know that our prayers are working. We want proof. But God is asking us to trust him, to believe that if we tender to the soil in our hearts, if we remain faithful, the harvest will come. Maybe not when we expect it, but it will come. 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times. Something personal I'd like to end the day with is that whenever I'm invited to preach here at Trillium, I get nervous. I think to myself, am I eloquent enough? Am I good enough? Will my accent bother people? Will my stories be translated? But then I realized something. The gospel isn't everyone. It's for all. It's preached in so many languages, so many places. Jesus didn't speak English or Yoruba, my native language. He spoke the truth. And I tell you, the truth is what translates. And I believe that God is speaking to Trillium right now. He's looking at the congregation and asking, will you be hard ground, shallow ground? Will you be choked by torrents? Or will you be the good soil? Because here's what I know. The world is watching. Your family is watching. Your friends are watching. You're watching yourself. And God is watching you. Everyone wants to see if your faith changes how you live. They want to know if there's something different about you because you follow Christ. And maybe you've been distracted. Maybe you've been running towards God, but also running towards other things. Maybe you've made promises to God that you haven't kept. Maybe the soil of your heart has been hardened, or it's been shallow, or the thorns are taking over. But I'm telling you, it is not over. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Because God, the farmer, Jesus, he hasn't given up on you. He's still scattering seeds every day, every time. He's still speaking, and he's still inviting you to become good soil. Before you leave here today, I'd like to invite you to do something. Find a place in your heart and ask yourself honestly, what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? Are you okay with being the soil on the path of thorns? If you're hard ground, I'd like you to ask God to break you up. Let the plow do its work. If you're shallow ground, I'd like you to ask God to help you go deeper and let the roots grow strong. If you're part of thorns, I'd like you to ask God to help you identify and pull the weeds. Let the crops grow free. And if you believe you're already good soil, I'd like you to pray to God and ask him to identify your seeds and multiply your harvest. Ask God to use your life as a testimony to 30, 60, and 100 other people. Because what God said, whoever has ears, let him hear. This is not just for the disciples of the first century. It's for us, for me, for you today, children of God.